And welcome back to Coast, Var LaVentura, our special guest. We're going to come back with your calls, your stories. Why don't you share a real scary one with us? But we'll talk more about some of her work, too, including, of course, one of her books called The Vampire. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Var LaVentura with us as we talk about strange creatures. What's your favorite book that you have written, Varla?
I love them all equally.
They're like kids.
Yeah, they're like my children. I really enjoyed the freedom that the magical creatures, the collection gave me, because I could sort of just choose whatever I wanted. The only downside is that those are only available on Kindle. But the plus side of that is that some of those stories and some of those ideas are making their way into a new book. So that's kind of great, because there'll be goblins and fairies and gnomes and things like that. I think, I would say probably the banshees, werewolves, vampires, and other creatures of the night is my favorite book of the sort of four kind of, more freaky topic print books that I have. Among the Mermaids was really wonderful to write, and I learned a lot and met a lot of very interesting people, many real life mermaids. So that was a lot of fun. And that's one of the topics. I feel like people that don't, they might shun ghosts, they may not believe in werewolves or vampires, but like mermaids, people want mermaids to be real.
Sailors do.
Please. Well, I mean, there are lots of accounts of mermaids being friend and foe.
And foe. Don't they? In some cases, I had heard stories of sailors who would want to swim with the mermaids, and the mermaids would submerge the sailor, keep him underwater. He would drown.
Oh, yeah. That's their prerogative. They are like, they want you to join them in eternally under the sea. And it's interesting because there's the whole idea of, someone being at sea for many, many days and being deprived of certain vitamins and probably enough water and seeing nothing but the monotony of the ocean, flat waves, and then, oh, look at this like amazing creature that they're, oh, well, it's a beautiful woman. You know what? I'm going swimming. And so there's a whole sort of, was it really a mermaid kind of hallucination? And then there are stories, many stories of mermaids sort of, especially in Ireland, sort of just kind of like they're in the shallows and they're stuck, and then you have to go out and help them. And then as soon as you help them, you're carrying them out to sea, and then they just sort of pull you down. So they have this very, oh, aren't they beautiful and lovely and all this wonderful sort of, kind of charm to them. But I wouldn't say they're evil creatures, but they are certainly more malevolent than people make them out to be today.
It's kind of like the scorpion and the frog story. Did you ever hear that one?
No.
Scorpion wanted a little ride across the lake, and he sees a little frog there and tells the frog, hey, do you mind if I jump on your back and take me across? And the frog said, are you kidding? No, you're going to sting me and kill me. And the scorpion said, come on, why would I do that? And I'd only hurt myself. And the frog said, well, he's probably right. Jump on. So he jumped on his back, and the frog's halfway across the lake. Scorpion stings him. Frog's going under. He's dying. And his last words to the scorpion, who's going down with him, why'd you do that? You've killed us both. Scorpion simply said, it's my nature.
I love it. Exactly like that. I can't help it. I didn't mean to hurt you.
That's right. Exactly. So mermaids, who knows? These fairy stories that you've encountered, too, these little fairy stories aren't all friendly either, are they?
Oh, no, not at all. And that's sort of the what's interesting is I just finished the book that I sent to my publisher, the yet to be named book. And in that process, I cannot tell you how many times I was writing about, you know, house goblins and hobgoblins that like to steal and steal things from you and trick you. And I would come back to my computer and my entire chapter would be gone. I mean, I had to rewrite it. I can't even tell you how many times. One chapter I had to rewrite is, I know I did everything I could. Document recovers is like, okay, hobgoblin, score one. You get that chapter. I'll rewrite. So there's a lot of very interesting, very dark ideas out there when it comes to the fairy realm. And I think I like the classic fairy story, and I don't want to completely, shun the idea that fairies are giving and can bequeath you with powers and, special gifts, because that's certainly true. But more often, there's a price that comes with that. It's that whole idea of selling your soul to the devil. You can't go into the fairy kingdom, eat all this magical food, hang out and dance with all the maidens, and then give nothing in return. And if you think you do, if you think you can get away with that, you really shouldn't have fallen asleep in the forest to begin with, because you're a fool. And that's sort of the premise that, I found from reading story after story and creeping out in the night and trying to figure out where are these ideas coming from. And it really, there's this overarching, somewhat menacing theme, I'm sorry to say, but it's not all angelic wings and, things there to tell you, make your garden grow. Although, the secret, I think we learned this with the amazing story of Findhorn, where, if you're familiar with that community in Scotland, there was a book that came out in the 70s about it, about this community that they couldn't grow anything on this rocky soil, and so they took a different approach, and it was in the north of Scotland, I think, and they gardened, and they left an offering for the fairies. They left an offering for this like elemental world, and they tapped into these elementals, and damned if they didn't grow cabbages bigger than Aunt Martha. It was just like this kind of amazing thing. So with a caution, I say, if you want some help from these little things that probably are hiding in the back of your bureau, you certainly want to leave them something. Don't think it's for free.
Nothing's free. Nothing's free.
Nothing's free.
Let's take some calls, some stories. Let's go to Jodine in British Columbia out there in Canada. Hi, Jodine. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I was sitting in my bathroom having a smoke, and I saw a pig man materialize in my closet, and then it disappeared, but then it reappeared as a little pig, and it seemed to go out the door. And I think it might have just looked in my house. And then it went back to the closet and turned into a man again, and it just disappeared.
What do you think it was?
I don't know. Like, it didn't have, as a man, it didn't have a pig nose, but it had the pig ears.
What do they call that, Barla? Anything?
Well, I want to know what you were smoking, first of all.
Barla.
I just watched them, that's all. It sounds sort of, that sounds sort of goblinish or elfish. I definitely have read stories of...
I've heard of something with a human face with a pig snout or something.
I mean, I've met something with a human face and a pig snout, to be honest. So it's not too far to imagine that there could be sort of a supernatural creature that morphs in there. Have you ever seen it since?
It sounds like one of those Texas chainsaw stories. But was that it, just a one time, Jodine?
I know. I've never seen it since.
Good. Well, that's a good thing. And thanks for
Yeah.
calling. Appreciate
Thank
that.
you for calling.
Strange creatures everywhere.
Wow. That sounds very like a goblin of some kind.
Why do they want to hurt people? These creatures.
Now,
All creatures.
not all of them want to hurt people. A lot of them want to help, but they just want you to ask nicely. Or they're, you know, they serve to teach a lesson, whatever that, you know, whatever it is that the lesson may be. But there are, you know, I mean, there's certainly things out there that aren't fleeting, you know, just for fun and laughs. I mean, I guess they probably just want to be loved, George.
Yeah, right. Let's go to Alan in Auburn, California, west of the Rockies. Hi, Alan. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George. What a great honor it is to finally get to talk to you.
Thank
you.
You
were speaking a few moments ago about some great stories, and you mentioned Stephen King, and I highly agree with your guest that he's a great one.
Yeah.
But I didn't hear H.P. Lovecraft mentioned.
Ah, well, not bad.
A Titan horror. H.P. Lovecraft, The Other Hound, Pickman's Model, Color Out of Space, The Outsider.
Great stories.
All great stories. George, can I ask you a question? Have you ever read a story by Henry Kuttner called The Graveyard Rat?
I have not.
Read that. You can get a hold of that one. That is the scariest 6 pages that has ever been.
The Graveyard Rat?
Rats.
Rats.
Yeah, it takes place in the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Okay.
It is, it'll change your life. It's a scary I'm calling from Auburn, California. We have an author up here who wrote for Weird Tales in the 30s, Clark Ashton Smith. And he was a collaborator with Lovecraft, or he was a letter colleague of Lovecraft.
Is he still kicking?
Oh, no, he died, I think, in 1961. But there is another author who doesn't get near the recognition he deserves. And I like that old gothic stories from the 20s and 30s, back before science had shed light on all our
mysteries. Yeah, me too.
You know, there seemed to be good reasons to be afraid of the dark in those days. And, yeah, I like that. So anyway, I just thought I'd put my 2 cents in, and I hope you will read Graveyard Rats. I don't think it's ever been surpassed for just incendiary horror.
I'll find it. Thanks, Alan.
Okay, thanks, George.
Sounds amazing.
And Graveyard Rats, right?
I grew up not far from Auburn, so thank you for calling from the...
Title alone,
Varla,
is horrible. Graveyard Rats.
It is. It reminds me of this story that I read that was a Bram Stoker story. And after Bram Stoker died, he left in his desk. It's a beautiful story. He left in his desk this collection of unpublished short horror stories, including one called Dracula's Guest, which was kind of a precursor to Dracula. And his wife published them, and she published them with a sort of preface that said, you know, the story. I found these in, you know, Bram's desk. He never thought that these were good enough. He never thought these, you know, cut the muster, and, you know, they sort of, but I think they're wonderful. We should publish them. And of course they're wonderful. I think there's 6 or 7 short stories. And one of them is a story about being in Paris sort of during the turn of the 19th century and going into like the wrong side of town and sort of being followed. And the title has to do with rats. So that's what made me think of it, and being followed by, and discovering in this sort of shanty town of Paris, all of these rats that are overrunning the entire area. And it's completely terrifying, not in the supernatural way you would expect from Bram Stoker, but in a very real, disgusting way.
Let's go to Joel, truck driving somewhere in Arizona. Joel, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi there.
Good morning. Good morning. Wonderful show.
Thank you, sir.
I don't really have a story. I had a question.
Sure.
The question was, you know, we hear a lot of rumors about the government going to be taking over the country. Now, and then we hear a lot about, like, the 411, the missing 411 stories, people missing in mountains, and then we hear about the Bigfoots and the werewolves. Could these monsters be genetically made as weapons for when the government takes its place to take over? If so, people run to the mountains and these monsters become violent to scare the people back?
That's an interesting question. One day when technology really kicks up, they're going to make weaponized robots, and they're going to make lots of them instead of troops, and they're going to send them into battle. It's going to happen. China's working on them right now.
I was going to say they probably already exist, George.
But, you know, in terms of making them to chase people into the woods and the forests, I don't think so. But they will weaponize them, and it'll happen sooner than later. And then look out, Marla. That's a horror story all by itself.
That's a future horror story. But I think with the, you know, the idea of werewolves and vampires, there's just so much historical, both folkloric and, you know, sort of longstanding, and even some archaeological evidence that goes way back, all the way back to the Sumerians with the Badinich tablets and things like that. That there's, while I don't think that that's that far-fetched to imagine in sort of the future or the present time, there's far too much evidence to suggest that these sort of like creatures and supernatural beings have been around the whole time.
Jay's in Florida and now on Coast to Coast. Jay, go ahead.
Yes. First, I had several comments on what she had said in the other calls. I wanted to address that first. First, the first caller with the pig man thing. I believe it was the first season of American Horror Story. The actor, I think Eric Stone Street, he had a guest role, and he had a phobia of seeing Pigman in the mirror. Dylan McDermott played the psychiatrist.
I forgot about that.
Right.
Good point.
With the graveyard rats thing, there was Stephen King's Graveyard Shift that was all about the rats. And there was the movie.
Possibly inspired by this story that caller was talking about.
And then I went to Varla, I love your name. I was wondering if there was a way that we could read the Dracula's Guest thing with the short story or what that was in. And then I can get into my experiences.
Oh, definitely. So Dracula's Guest, actually, if you can do ebook reader, you can just type into like Amazon Kindle store, type in Varla Ventura Dracula, I think we'll probably get it for you, Dracula's Guest. And I actually published that with an introduction to it. And if you can't find it that way, just email me at varlaventura@gmail.com and I'll help direct you to that entire collection because it's quite impressive.
Good for you, Varla. Thank you so much for the work that you keep doing for us. And we're going to come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM and wrap things up with your final calls. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, for the first couple hours, I'll be talking with Tony Yoon about people and the craze to fix themselves up to stay young, and it's an amazing story there, followed by our midweek open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Varla Ventura with us, final segment. Let's go back to Jay in Florida because he had a story or two for us. Jay, what do you have?
Okay, I was laying in bed, and in the next room, I could hear that there was definitely something going on in there. A lot of my experiences have not been really solid visual. It's been the other senses, interestingly enough. But this was where I was laying in bed, and I definitely heard something going on, and that alone scared me. And then I'm not sure at what point I closed my eyes, and then it came to the point of where I sensed it was right there, and I couldn't open my eyes. So I'm only describing that as sleep paralysis. And I kind of had someone explain that to me as, well, that could either be that you, whether it was that something was protecting me from whatever it was, or, you know, if it was the other way around when you go into that. That happened during the day. That's one of the only ones that happened during the day. Another night, I came home. I keep that same bedroom, because this all happened in the apartment I used to live in, and I keep the bedroom door locked. This was that night. It was probably fairly late. I don't know if it was after midnight. And so that bedroom door is locked, and it sounded like something was completely ransacking my bedroom in there, like somebody was just going crazy, tearing it up apart and everything like that. and I came inside, the door was still locked. The other time, it was nighttime, I was on the couch, and this is where I was kind of coming in and out of sleeping and awaking up, so it's kind of where you're kind of in and out of it that way. So it's whether I was in the dream state or how lucid I was. And I kept hearing voices, and sounded like somebody was trying to get in my front door. I know she said about the witching hour. I've actually heard that the witching hour is from midnight to 3, and then the devil's hour is 3 to 4.
What about the devil's hour, Varla, isn't it?
Right now.
I think the devil's hour is any time.
Yeah, I mean, the devil works round the clock. Actually, I have had some somewhat similar experiences. I have not seen a lot of paranormal or supernatural creatures, but I have felt and heard many, many things, including things that sound like, you know, someone's, you know, trying to get a cupboard open or thunking across your forehead. I like the idea of the sleep paralysis actually trying to protect you. I've never heard that. I have that a lot myself, and I find that kind of an interesting turn to think that's a way of keeping you from seeing whatever is around you. But it sounds to me like, you know, I mean, there are certain things, it doesn't matter if you lock your door, they will get in regardless. But it doesn't sound like any harm came to you, so I think that's probably...
Yet.
Yes.
No harm yet. Okay, let's go to Carrie in Biloxi, Mississippi. Hey, Carrie, go ahead.
Hi, this is my theory on mermaids, and it
All right.
comes from this weird law that I can't remember where I heard it, but sea lions have the same genetic makeup as female humans,
mm-hmm.
so that's why we're not allowed to mess with them. Well, what if humans mess with them and create a mermaid? And that's why there's the law.
Oh gosh.
I thought about that.
That's kind of weird. That is weirder than
deeply
weird.
Deeply disturbing.
Yes, that's...
That is deep. There are a lot of accounts, actually, of if you've seen a dugong or a manatee, and you know that they're in the same family, which is the Sirenaceae family, they have a split tail that is very much like most mermaids, especially early mermaid drawings that you might see. I mean, even Blackbeard was afraid of mermaids, and you know, on the map he drew an area that he would direct his crew to sail around. And it's actually thought that, as you know, people were coming from Europe, and you know, they had never seen the likes of anything quite like this. And so they would see this tail, and you know, they imagined it to be something that maybe was just actually a natural creature that still exists today. So there is definitely a tie-in with that. I've never heard of, you know, mating with a sea lion, and I hope that that is totally not true. I hope.
Yes. We all hope that's not true.
We all hope that. Now none of us are going to sleep. Thanks
we go to Adrian in Orange, California, first-time caller. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning. I'm so happy to be on the show. I'm nervous. But so I've had a lot of reoccurring things happen to me, I guess. I could say I've never seen anything like the color before last. I've only seen like the repercussion of like what things do around me, like a lot of poltergeist activity. Not that I'm saying it's a ghost or not, I really don't have any idea. It could be like interdimensional creatures. It could be maybe my own energy. I really don't have any thing to, you know, call it or what happens around me. But a lot of poltergeist activity. I've had a reoccurring thing happen twice. I was living with my ex-boyfriend's family, and they're very religious. And we lived in like Anaheim Hills, which is like a very kind of desolate part of it. So it's not like a whole bunch of houses or much going on up there. It's pretty clear. So we were sleeping, and the window was open, and we were upstairs, and we heard, like, probably, like, the worst scream I've ever really heard in my whole life, and then, like, woke the father up, who slept downstairs, and the mother slept upstairs, and the dogs are barking, and he's, you know, like, it was such a bad scream that, like, you know, we felt like we must go out there to help somebody, and then as we kind of meet the dad from the upstairs to the downstairs, we're sitting at the top, the whole house shook as if like a plane, not a plane had hit it, but something had, like a car had hit it or something coming from the sky had hit it, and like it knocked over some stuff in the china cabinet. Huh. And it was very strange. Like, it was like very scary. And the mother, it's kind of strange, she didn't wake up and her dogs are going nuts, and she lives in the room upstairs. And we finally got her up and, like, you know, we're like explaining to her what's happening. And then we're all outside trying to find the woman and like where this impact was that had happened to the house. You know what I mean? And we can't find anybody out there, and we cannot find any impact to the house. It's a big house, so we're going around the whole house, and we kind of give up on the woman at this point. And we even looked in the attic to see if something had fallen from the sky. Well, they're very religious, and like, so needless to say, like, we're all praying in the living room, and they believe that it was something demonic or whatnot, which I don't really have a religious preference or anything, because I really just don't know. And so that's one thing that's happened. Well, the exact same thing happened a few years later. I was at a different boyfriend of mine, and we were at his house, and he was in a back house, and it was like kind of like almost like a trailer. It was in a back, you know, yard of like a place. It was big, so it was like kind of one big huge room, and I heard the same scream. And, you know, the concern, his concern wiped over his face. So, like, I felt like everything had just, like, the blood had just rushed from my head. So I recognized that scream, and I just kind of, I felt like I knew what was coming next. And then the same thing happened. I mean, stuff shook, and, like, the bang happened to the house, and, like, stuff shook off the walls. And I went outside, you know, looking for the person, and then, you know, like, look, you know, what happened to the house, and there was no impact on the house, and there was nothing, you know, that, there's no woman, of course. And, like, he even went to the point where, like, we went, you know, into the front, because, like, we're in a back house, this backyard, and, like, we're just kind of looking over the fences, and he's, like, really panicking. He's, like, the girl, the scream is so terrifying. And, I mean, that's happened to me. And then just, like, a lot of, like, you know, and people say, like, they don't believe that stuff, and then they come to wherever I live. Like, it just kind of follows me, I believe. And it's, like, wherever I live, like, people will see stuff move. And, like, people see ghosts, like, when they come to my house. I've never seen a ghost or any, like, you know, apparitions or anything of that nature. But actually, before all that, I was living in my back house of my grandparents' home, and I was their caretaker, and, like, I would come in to help them. Well, my grandfather recently died, and I was moving into the front house, so I could rent out the back house to take care of my mother, my grandmother, in the front house. And I just moved into my mother's old bedroom where she had lived growing up, and the room was pretty much empty. Like, I just moved an old corduroy couch just in there, and I had, like, a cabinet, a caddy corner with a TV on it, three kittens, and a telephone, and, like, a cat litter box and some cat food. That was, like, the only thing that was in the entire room. And I fell asleep watching TV with the lights on. I had one cat on my stomach and then two cats just sitting on the floor. And I fall asleep watching TV. And my boyfriend worked till 2 o'clock in the morning every night. And I kind of just, you know, like, wake up whenever, like, around, like, you know, that time. I just kind of have a clock in me. So I kind of just woke back up to all the lights and the TV still on. And I just went back to watching TV because I know he'd be home soon. And the end of the couch where my legs were, because I was, like, laying on the couch. And the end of it lifted up into the air and then dropped. And, like, at first I was like, and
you've got ghosts there, Adrian, somewhere, somehow. So, Varla, these ghosts that show up, like at her place, is it because of the land that somebody died there, or are they really chasing her?
Well, I mean, I think it's very common to have, and people don't realize this, but you can, it's common to carry ghosts around in that way. And if the experiences are so similar, most people associate ghosts with being sort of trapped in one space. But the, you know, the whole idea of a banshee, banshees or warning ghosts or certain ghosts were inherited from generation to generation. And I would just wonder and ask the caller if there's any parallel, and it might actually take some digging and thinking on her part to figure out if there are parallel experiences that happened after these experiences. Was there, you know, if it
what do you mean by
warning of something? Like, was it a warning? Did somebody fall ill in the family and die shortly thereafter? Or was she somehow in danger and so she needed a little wake-up call? Was there something sort of consistent or semi-consistent that she could tie together to just, I mean, you're never going to fully explain it, but to sort of understand why this continues to happen. But I have a very, very dear friend. Ghosts follow her. She sees them.
Is she possessed?
She hears them. Oh, no, not at all. In fact, quite the opposite. You wouldn't necessarily think or even bring that topic up. You have to ask her and sort of like poke a little bit to get the stories. But, you know, over the years, it's not, is it that ghosts are following her, or is it that she has the ability and the vision and then sort of things seek her out? You know, you could look at it either way. If someone is open to that, whether they identify as a psychic or a spiritualist or not, they still may be open to, you know, sort of a conduit of those things.
Varla, did you see the ghost story we posted from the Stanley Hotel, the picture on the stairway?
Oh, I was...
You sounded like a donkey right
that.
There.
That was amazing. That was just like, I loved that photo. I wrote about the Stanley Hotel. I am just totally enamored with it. Obviously, I saw The Shining far too young, to be honest, the movie.
Didn't appreciate it. You're too little.
Oh, no, the worst thing is that my mom covered my eyes, but she didn't really cover them. And so it was at the scene where the, like, disgusting woman kind of transforms from a beautiful woman in the bathtub. And
yeah.
So she was covering it because it was like a naked lady. But in fact, she didn't cover it well enough. And I didn't even notice the naked lady or remember the naked lady. I just remembered the scary thing that came out of that. But the Stanley Hotel just has so much energy around it. And there's actually a couple of places nearby that have a lot of ghosts and hauntings. So, you know, it could be, as you had asked, is it the place? Is it the land that is sort of has,
or the person.
Has this energy? Or is it the person? Or is it a little bit of both?
John in Ontario, let's squeeze you in here. John, go ahead, sir.
Hello, Jordan.
Hey, John.
How are you?
Good.
I want to say something quick. I phone in a lot of times. I get on and tell you about different experiences. Mm-hmm. And honest to God, George, I swear, I'm not lying. This has been going on since I was a child, all these different things. And I've even had my mother with me at times as witness, but it's all the truth.
Yep, well, I believe you.
The lady mentioned about, I've even seen from their back my own doppelganger. I've chased him into a store.
Chased him?
Yeah, there's two of them.
They run?
No, there's two different little stories here. There's a doppelganger. He ran. It's a store down in the basement. The only way out is the same way he went in. So just as he went in, I come running in behind, and I asked the lady, where's the fellow that just came in here? He says, it's you.
Wow.
I says, what do you mean? You were here just a minute ago. You asked me about something in the class. So anyway... the other night when I phoned you about the town with all the lights on and all
yeah.
that real late at night, the name of the place is Salem. But the lady mentioned fairies and that. Are you still there?
Well, we're out of time for you, John. The clock has us, but those were leading up to good stories. Varla, take care of yourself. Always come back. We thank the world of you. And your website, of course, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. That's there, and people should go there on a regular basis. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.